everyone. This is Yvette Hampton. Welcome back to the Schoolhouse Rocked podcast. I am so glad that you have come back with us again for day three of my conversation with Israel Wayne. We have had a great time this week. We're talking about just digging into God's word. We're talking about his new book, Foundational Truths, A Modern Catechism. If you missed Monday's and yesterday's episodes, go back and listen to those because we kind of walk through what that looks like, what a catechism is, and how to implement that into your family devotions, Bible time, homeschool, whatever it is that you're doing. There are so many ways that you can use this, and really it's questions and answers, getting us and our kids to think about truth and to always come back to scripture. What is, because that's truth. That is the only truth. So always going back to the word of God and understanding who God is, why he created us. Why are we here as people? And so I'm thankful for this resource. We're going to talk about a different resource that was mentioned earlier today, but we're going to talk about foundations in faith, which is, I feel like it's kind of like foundational truths on steroids, right? Would you say that maybe?
Yes, it's very much an extension of that.
Yeah. So we'll discuss that today. But before we do, I want to say thank you again to our sponsor, BJU Press Homeschool. They will equip you for a successful homeschool journey. There are so many possibilities. And whether you are an independent learning style or parent-led approach, whatever it is, whatever works best for you and your family, BJU Press Homeschool will encourage a love of learning and help your child develop a biblical worldview. They'll be with you every step of the way, and they are so grateful to be a part of your homeschool journey. Visit them at bjupresshomeschool.com, and you can talk to one of their consultants there who will help walk you through whatever is best for your family. What are your needs? Do you need something for, you know, science or history or whatever your subject is and grade that you're looking for, they have something for you. So visit them at bjupresshomeschool.com. Also, thank you for those who continue to support the Schoolhouse Rocked podcast. We are so very grateful for you. If you've not left a review for this podcast, would you take a moment and just do that really quickly? If you're watching this on video, if you're watching this on YouTube, would you like and subscribe to this video and share this with your friends? That's one of the ways that we get our name out there, that we get this ministry out there is by you. I mean, you guys are the ones who share, and we love it when we hear from you saying, oh, I heard about your podcast from my friend, or I shared your podcast with my friend, or I shared the movie with a friend. We are so grateful for that because you can't buy that kind of marketing. We need your help to get the word out about this ministry so that people can have the encouragement that they need in their homeschool journey and in their walk with the Lord. Because we're not just about homeschooling. We talk about homeschooling and family discipleship kind of all rolled into one. So thank you for sharing this with your friends. Israel, welcome back to the podcast. Let's talk through foundations in faith. So this is, like I said, well, I'm going to let you explain it because in my mind, I'm like, it's just foundational truths, the catechism, but it's not a catechism, but it's those foundational truths kind of on steroids.
So this is a high school Bible doctrine curriculum. The publisher actually recommends it for grades 7 through 12. My personal opinion is that there are some seventh graders who would be able to do it. It would be a little intense for some. So you kind of have to gauge your own child to find out whether your 12, 13-year-old would be capable of doing this. I'd say if they're very advanced, they might, but certainly very solidly high school curriculum. And the idea was that we wanted to give kind of an introduction to systematic theology. We wanted to help bring high schoolers into a very systematic course. So it is a consumable workbook. The workbook is looks like about 370 pages.
Okay.
And there are 36 weeks, but it's 5 lessons a day. So there's about 180 different lessons.
You mean 5 lessons a week, right?
Yeah, there's five lessons a week.
A week. Okay, so you said a day. I was like, whoa, Israel.
Yes. Yeah, that would be too intense. that would be too intense. So yeah, one lesson per day for each school day over a 36-week course. And so we start off with what is doctrine? That's week one. Mm-hmm. And then who created Christian doctrine? And so we get into the ideas of how was the Bible canonized, and how did it come to be, and how did we decide like what the core doctrines of Christianity were supposed to be? Like, did some church council just make that up hundreds of years after Christ, or what was the process for that? So lesson three, how do we know the Bible is true? And then we have a whole series on how we can understand the Bible properly. This is on biblical hermeneutics, which is the discipline of understanding the Bible in its proper context. A chapter on understanding the Old Testament versus the New Testament, and what are the similarities and what are the differences, and how do we read each through a different lens. A chapter on the importance of church history, because that's something that most of us don't know anything about, and most churches don't emphasize, and yet we have 2,000 years of church history that we, I believe, impoverish ourselves when we ignore.
Sure.
And then I have an introduction to creeds. We go through some of the famous Christian creeds, like the Apostles' Creed, the Nicene Creed, the Athanasius Creed. And these were early formulations of Bible doctrine that appeared in the early centuries after the first church. And then what is a confession? So we go through some of the historic confessions of faith, and we talk about the significance of those and their benefits as well as their limitations. Then we have one called Exploring Catechisms. And so we talk about some of the historic catechisms and how catechisms can be useful. And of course, this resource, actually, Foundations in Faith, was written first. And then after having written this, the publisher said, you know, what if we were to compile a catechism that draws from all of these great historic catechisms, but is non-denominational, non-sectarian, and that really focuses on the things that bring us together and that we all agree on as Christians, rather than, you know, divisive secondary doctrines on which we disagree. And then we talk about confirmations, which is a whole nother thing that, let me just explain this real quickly. So this is how churches used to function. It used to be that if you wanted to become a church member, either as a child or as a new believer who comes into a church, they would take you through a series of catechism classes. And you would go through all of the catechisms, and then after questions and answers, and then after you've been able to answer each one of these questions and affirm each one of these questions according to Scripture and to give a biblical answer for these different doctrinal viewpoints, they would have a confirmation class where they would seek to make sure that your profession of faith aligned with Christianity. So if in the confession class or in the confirmation class, they ask you, do you believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of the living God? And you say, no, I think he was a good person. I think he was a good teacher, but I don't believe he was the Son of God. They would not admit you into church membership.
In some
churches today, we've gotten so loose with this that you can just say, who here wants to be a member? And so you sign up and you become a member. And there's not a process. And so some of these practices that churches used to implement years ago still have some value. And I think we would do well to bring some of these things back.
Can we park there for just a second? Because you talked about confessions, and then you got to confirmations. And when I think of those things, I always think of the Catholic faith. And so differentiate between those a little bit. Like, how do you, where do confessions come in? And so, talk about that for just a second.
So, thank you for that. And I always love the opportunity to clarify. So when we talk about historic Christian confessions, we're not talking about confessionals and going to a priest and making a confession for sin. That's not what confessions are. So a creed is a very short statement of belief that is very much kind of like a one-page statement of faith that you might find at your that your church might hand out of here's who we are, here's what we believe. But a confession is really very much like a statement of faith. It's just much longer. And so it really dials down on here's what we believe about creation. Here's what we believe about God. Here's what we believe about the Holy Spirit. Here's what we believe about the Word of God. Here's what we believe about the church. Here's what we believe about church membership, and so on and so forth. And there could be many paragraphs and many, many verses of Scripture that support their views on each one of these different positions. So it's kind of a very exhaustive and extended statement of faith, if you will. And so we call it a confession of faith. And again, there are many historic ones. There's the Heidelberg Confession, the Westminster Confession of Faith, and many of these different, the articles of faith from the Anglican Church and so on. And so today we just call it a statement of faith.
Yeah.
But these confessions were a little bit more robust, usually a little deeper and just pretty exhaustive on here's what we believe on all these different topics. So thank you for clarifying that
because
some people would hear, you know, confessions and think we're talking about going to a priest and making our confession. And then that's not what we mean by that term.
Yeah. Yeah. No, I appreciate you clarifying that. Let's take a break. We'll be right back. Have you tried CTC math yet with your child? Here's a testimonial from another happy homeschool mom. Amber said, "I'm absolutely thrilled with CTC math. It's a rare find that I've used with my children for more than 5 years now. I have 6 children using CTC math, and each child has found it easy to navigate and very applicable. Thank you so much for all that you are doing in providing quality math lessons for my children. If you're looking for a great online math program, visit ctcmath.com. That's ctcmath.com.
Are you looking for a homeschool curriculum that goes beyond textbooks and truly engages your children in the joy of learning? Apologia's award-winning curriculum is written by homeschool parents to specifically meet your needs and captivate your students with hands-on activities and experiments that make learning unforgettable. With an easy-to-follow, open-and-go format, Apologia takes the stress out of planning and provides a simple roadmap that can easily be tailored to your family's needs. Explore live classes or self-paced courses designed to accommodate every student's unique learning style. Elevate your child's education, spark their curiosity, and nurture a lifelong love for learning with Apologia. Discover Apologia today at apologia.com.
We are back with Israel. Okay, continue walking us through. I mean, this is fast. It's so funny because I don't have a copy of Foundations in Faith, and it looks amazing. I'm looking at this going, okay, Brooklyn's about to graduate. And not that we can't still study God's word and do things with her, but her curriculum days like this, she's not going to want me to hand her a workbook. However, Lacey, I still have another 5.5 years with her. And I'm thinking this will be great. And really quickly, let me say, because you and I know realistically, there's not a homeschool mama on the planet who's going to go through an entire 30 something weeks, 5 days, Monday through Friday, you know, and get through every lesson in a year. That just doesn't happen. I mean, life happens. And so, this is something that as I'm thinking about it would be great to even use like through their high school years, maybe break it up, you know, within a couple of years, or maybe even all 4 years of high school, or do a couple of years and then review it the last 2 years. I mean, there's so many different ways you can do this. So for those moms, those type A moms who are like, oh, but I got to check all the boxes and do it exactly as it's laid out. No, you don't. You don't have to do that. Do it the way that works best for your family. Cause I can guarantee that I will not do 5 days a week perfectly scheduled out, as it might be in the book. But man, this looks like such a great resource. So continue walking us through it.
So my secret hope when I wrote this was I wanted to write this for adults. I didn't want to write it for high school.
Oh,
I
wow.
wanted it for high school, but I thought sure. there's just so many adults who don't know basic Bible doctrine. They don't know what soteriology is.
Yeah.
They don't know what hermeneutics are. They don't know what apologetics are. They don't know what eschatology means. Like these are terms and phrases they're not familiar with.
Sure.
And they don't know systematic theology. And I thought it would be just wonderful to have a very simple introductory course that defines everything, that takes you through step by step. And so I have said on social media, like my goal with this was that parents would do it and that parents would actually get this inside of them.
I love that.
The publisher said, yeah, well, that's probably not going to happen. So basically, for two reasons, you know, adults are busy, but also they feel like they know it all. And so they'll give their teenager this and say, hey, you could stand to learn something about Bible doctrine, but most adults feel like they know it.
Yeah.
But I've been really pleased that hundreds of homeschool moms have taken this upon themselves to do for themselves.
Mm.
Like they bought themselves a copy along with one for their teenager and that they went through it. And I've received so many letters from people who said, I just never knew hardly anything in this book. You know, I've been in church for 25 years and like I learned more in this book than I've learned in 25 years of going to church.
Wow.
And so, and that's really a rebuke to the shallowness of what's being offered to many of us through our churches. But then we really dive into the core. So creation, or we call that cosmology. The Fall of Man, talking about the doctrine of sin and how sin entered the world. Who is God? The Trinity. Jesus being the Son of God, the atonement of Jesus, the death and burial and resurrection of Jesus, the doctrine of the Holy Spirit, which we call pneumatology, doctrine of salvation, which again is soteriology, justification and sanctification, the church, which we call ecclesiology, baptism and communion. We talk again about differences that churches have as far as methods and approaches, but all true Christians of all time have always talked about the importance of baptism and communion in the life of the believer. And then we have a section on spiritual disciplines, which is kind of applied theology. So we talk about prayer, Bible study, worship, evangelism, generosity, serving, and self-denial as being disciplines that we as Christians seek to implement in our lives as ways of becoming strong in the application of our faith. And then finally, the second coming or eschatology. And on these secondary doctrines, again, we don't take sides. We are not trying to go around you to your child to say, you need to align with this denominational view or this sectarian view. Mm-hmm. I'm a dad. I have 11 children. And I don't like people going around me as a parent to try to get to my kids and like say, you know, hey, think this way, believe this way.
Right.
So we point the students back to their parents, to their local churches. We tell families to work on this as a project and go to your church's statement of faith and see what they believe on these different doctrinal issues, and then open the Word of God together and say, does our church's statement of faith line up? And I've had dozens of families that have written me who've said in going through Foundations in Faith as a family that they actually found when they finally read their church's statement of faith that their church believes things that they don't believe and they didn't know it.
Wow. Yeah.
One family told me they've been in this church for 20 years. And that they pretty fundamentally disagree with their church on some of the points in the statement of faith, and they had no idea.
Wow.
I don't know how that happens, but they said they just never had even asked for the church's statement of faith.
Oh, yeah.
They just, it's the church they go to.
Yeah.
And so this is a really good process, especially for teenagers, and helping them to become grounded in the essentials of Christianity, to recognize that there are Christians who have different views on the secondary doctrines.
Yeah.
We don't solve all those problems for you. We don't get into the taking sides on Calvinism and Arminianism or, you know, the charismatic cessationist, continuationist debates.
We don't talk about all those right now, Israel.
We're not going to solve those issues. That's not the point of the curriculum. But we do want the students to know there are secondary issues on which Christians disagree, but these are the core issues. We agree on these.
Yeah. You know, as you're talking about statements of faith, one of our practices as a family, because we've moved a lot and we've visited a lot of places, I don't know if I've mentioned this before, but we figured out a few months ago that in the last, I think, 7 years, we have visited somewhere between 30 and 40 churches, which I know you probably are the same because you travel so much. And, you know, as we've traveled, we have visited churches in as many places as we can. And so we've gotten a really interesting broad view of the church in America. And most of the time before we will visit a church anywhere, we will look at their statement of faith. And oftentimes we will read and go, oh, you know, we just don't agree with that. Or, you know, we will agree with it and say, okay, you know, we're good. Let's go visit this church. But as we look at a statement of faith for a church, which by the way, for those listening, that is such an important thing. If you are going to a church, which I hope you are, read the statement of faith at the church that you're at. It's one of the greatest things about the internet, right? Is you can read a statement of faith for most churches. You can listen to sermons and get a really good feel for what the church is before you ever step foot into it. So that is really helpful. But as we're talking about statements of faith for churches, this was, I don't know, maybe a year and a half ago or so, I had Zan Tyler on the podcast, and she talked about creating a vision statement, basically a statement of faith for your family. And the importance of doing that, because you need to know, it's kind of part of your GPS, your family GPS, right? You need to know where you're going. What is it that you believe as a family? And then how are you going to get to where it is that you want to go? And so I see Foundational Truths, your catechism book, and I see Foundations in Faith, this curriculum that you're talking about, both as really good ways for families, because there are many of those things, like I've heard a lot of those words, Israel, but some of that stuff, I'm like, yeah, I don't know what that is. I mean, if someone asked me, you know, what is it? Hermeneutics. I couldn't tell them what that is. And so I think it's really important for us to study these things and help us to get a much better answer. I'm excited about getting this curriculum. Now you've gotten me excited about for myself, not just for Lacey, but for our whole family, to really study it. And it's, I think, a really great resource for us to use in addition to God's word for creating our own family statement of faith, our own family vision of what it is that we believe. So wow, thank you. What is one last bit of encouragement that you would like to offer to our audience?
I just think it's so important for our children to be prepared to go out in the world. And we spend so much time trying to prepare them with math facts and history dates. But we also need to make sure that they know how to contend for the faith.
Amen.
That they know what they believe, they know why their beliefs are true, and they know how to communicate effectively the truth to other people so that they can do evangelism and apologetics. It's a big part of my ministry. It's what I've always encouraged families to do. And these are just new resources that I've been blessed with Masterbooks to help create that I think will equip families for that task.
Yeah. Great stuff. And Masterbooks has so many great resources. We're using their history this year and we love it. We're doing their world history curriculum and we've used, you know, some of their science in the past years. They just have a lot of really great resources. So check them out, masterbooks.com. I'm assuming that's their website, right?
Masterbooks.com. And then if you want signed copies, you can come to familyrenewal.org /store. And any copies that you order from our web store, because we physically send the books out, you'll get personally signed. So it's something Love that it. We'll do for you that Amazon won't. Yep. And so we encourage you to pick up some copies from familyrenewal.org.
It's so funny that you talk about signed copies too, because some of the other curriculum that I've gotten from Masterbooks, I don't know if you know this, but anytime they ship anything out, it always comes with a note, like a handwritten note by one of,
an encouraging, you know, word, but usually a Bible verse written at the bottom.
Yeah. Handwritten by whoever is, I guess, packing and shipping that particular curriculum.
Isn't that beautiful?
Yeah. It's great stuff. Anyway, we'll put all those links in the show notes. Israel, thank you so much for being with us this week. You were such a blessing. Thank you for the example that you set in biblical study, in marriage, in family, in homeschooling, and all the things. You've got so many great resources that really, really have been so helpful and beneficial for our family, and I know for many others as well. So we will provide you guys with all the links that you need for all the resources from Israel. Thank you guys for joining us this week. We are so grateful for you. Again, if there's any way we can be praying for you or encouraging you, send us an email at podcast@schoolhouserock.com. You can also go to our website and support us financially by going to the Donate Here button and give one time, monthly, whatever the Lord puts on your heart. And pray for us as well as and for Israel. Pray for Israel and his family as we all continue on with ministry. It is our hearts to impact this kingdom with truth. So thank you for being part of that. Thank you for being with us this week. Have a great rest of the week. Stay tuned to the very end to hear what's coming up next week on the podcast. And we will see you back on Monday. Bye.
I began to see, you know, there are so many materials in nature for connecting children to God and reconnecting those dots between creation and creator. Like, all of this is God's handiwork. So why are we not using it? The reason I certified as a naturalist was so that I can use the materials in nature to teach theology. Like, Jesus did this all the time in the Gospels. We look at his parables and everything that he taught, and he used sparrows and wildflowers and grains of sand and olive branches. And he's calling on all these things that he and the Father fashioned together at creation. And it's powerful, especially for children, because they remember through these hands-on experiences. I just want to reconnect those dots and equip parents to do the same, to be able to go outside, because we all know that time in nature is important for our physical health and mental health, but also our spiritual health. And so not just going outside, but taking it further and showing them, what does this show us about God, our creator, and how he loves us?